Hey guys, it's Alfredo.
And this is Brian.
And this is Film Purgatory. So thank you guys so much for joining us this week. Spooky season continues. We're going into Vampire.
Volume 4?
Volume... Week 3.
Week 3?
I don't know. What is? I don't know. Could be. Don't quote me. But we're talking about vampires, guys. We're going... What would you say? Like old school? We talked about this at the end of last week's episode. Vampires are one of the most favorite classic monsters,
yeah.
You can say, right?
Yeah, that would be my vote. They're not my favorite, but I think in general the most popular. I see we've seen so many movies about them.
Mm.
Different variations, you know, lore created from that. I would say worldwide vampires, because it all started with the cathedrals and the castles,
right,
and the weird people, you know, the lore of like the lords, the rich, they consume people. You know, it all began with all these stories and folklore. So I would say the vampire worldwide is like the most popular.
What are the other monsters? Werewolves, mummies,
Frankenstein, undead. I guess zombies, you could say. Anything undead, like the army of the undead.
Eesh.
So I would say those few.
But yeah, guys, we're gonna talk about 6 different movies. You choose 3, I choose 3. 6 movies that deserve to be mentioned in the vampire genre, in the horror vampire genre.
Correct.
Asterisk. Because there's like you said, there's a lot of different subgenres. There's some funny vampire movies. There's a vampire show. Romance is in there.
There is.
Just a lot of different genres, subgenres.
Right.
So we're talking about the horror vampire movies. I'm going to start off with one of the great ones, though. When you think of vampires, there's only really one name that you think of that's synonymous with the actual creature of vampire, and that would be Dracula.
Correct.
So starting off my list, I got Dracula Untold, made in 2014, directed by Gary Shore, his feature film debut. Yeah, not a lot of films after that. I think he has like one.
Hmm.
Couple shorts.
Kind of strange.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. Casting this one, I would say scarce, my opinion. Luke Evans is probably the biggest name. He's Gaston in Beauty and the Beast, the live-action version. It's okay.
I've always remembered him for, I believe he was Apollo in the Immortals movie. Is that what it was called?
He was Apollo. Was he?
I don't think it was the Immortals.
Clash of the Titans. He was in Clash of the Titans?
Was it that one? I just know it was the one with Henry Cavill before he did Superman.
I don't know. Listen to the Greek Week episode. I'm sure we mentioned him. I don't know. Sarah Gadon? Gadon? Going back to my roots.
Gadon.
Mispronouncing names. She's actually in another vampire movie, Vampires versus the Bronx.
That was wasn't that like a Netflix one? Like a recent one? That came out very recent.
Yeah.
Like within the last year, no?
Yeah, it came out 2020. I don't think it was worth mentioning in the horror genre. That's just me.
It was, I believe, more drama comedy.
Right. Charles Dance. It's Tywin Lannister.
Gotcha.
Game of Thrones. So, basic story on this one. Vlad the Third, a.k.a. Vlad the Impaler. He's a prince of Wallachia, Transylvania. He finds himself in a little bit of a predicament. See, it seems like the Sultan of the Ottoman Empire demands 1,000 sons of the country's sons, which includes Vlad's son, to serve in his army.
Oof.
So, in a desperate move, Vlad makes a deal with a monster played by Charles Dance to try to defeat his enemy's army at the risk of losing his own humanity.
Oops.
He essentially becomes a vampire, and he uses that supernatural power to just vanquish his enemies. I don't know. Something about the ending was really satisfying to me. There is not a happy ending. And, well, I mean, initially you think it's not a happy ending, and then it leads you to believe that there might be a happy ending, which is kind of corny, but whatever. As far as the horror genre goes, I can live with it. The movie was pretty cool to me. The screenplay for this film was in the 2006 Blacklist.
Hmm.
I remember mentioning the Blacklist. If you guys don't remember, The Blacklist is a list of most liked unmade films. So people really like this screenplay, and they voted it in.
Finally.
Yeah. Effects weren't too bad. Story was pretty basic, honestly.
Yeah, it's a guy needing power to
take
out, you know, an unsurmountable amount of people.
Right, right,
like,
yeah.
You're not going to win, but all right, I need these powers. I need these abilities. I don't know. The whole monster, I like the design.
The design's pretty cool.
The makeup, effects, like you said, overall, very good, enjoyable, satisfying to watch.
It was. I was surprised, actually. I didn't really expect too much of this film.
Yeah, me either. It was when I heard it was coming out, it was just like a random thing, like, oh, another Dracula, another vampire. I don't need more of that. But yeah, this one's cool, decent film. You can, I don't know, for me, it's like one of those I just leave in the background. Luke Evans, even himself, is, I don't know, he's always one of those supporting characters.
Right.
Does well in that role.
Right.
I don't know about the main role.
Pretty sure he was in the Fast and Furious franchise.
That's right.
Yeah.
He played what would later be revealed as Jason Statham's brother.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Such a bullshit franchise.
Yeah.
Alright, whatever. IMDb gave this movie a 6.2. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 25%. I don't know. I think Rotten Tomatoes is a little butthurt.
Why are they always butthurt?
I don't know. Recently?
I have a theory.
What's
conspiracy.
Up? Okay.
Manny secretly runs Rotten Tomatoes.
I can agree on that.
Biggest hater on earth. Biggest hater.
We have a mutual friend. He's a professional hater.
Professional hater.
Hater players ball.
Correct.
He won it consecutively. So maybe, I don't know. Manny's running the Rotten Tomatoes. But despite that, 25%, that's a little low. I kind of agree with IMDb. 6 out of 10 isn't bad. 6, 7 out of 10 isn't bad.
I can take that. I would say 6.
Right. Yeah, it's whatever.
So now we're going to go into, I would say, not the origins of vampires, but the origins of a vampire superhero.
Ooh.
You know, something we hadn't seen at the time. Now it would be like cookie cutter, as I always like to say. But we have a Marvel film.
Nice.
Very popular character. I would say a fan favorite. People love Blade. I think people love this character. You know, it's like he's serious, he's more dark, gritty. He means business. This guy, would you consider him like an anti-hero or just like a vigilante?
I would think anti-hero is a really good description of him, because he's not a superhero. He doesn't really claim to be a superhero.
True.
He's just kind of like doing his own thing. When you think of anti-hero, I think the best example would be Deadpool. And I think the Blade is pretty synonymous with that name as well.
Yeah. This movie is from 1998, directed by Stephen Norrington. Well, grossed $131 million at the box office in 1998. Those are good numbers.
Pretty good numbers.
Screenplay by a familiar name, David S. Goyer. He was a part of Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight trilogy, Man of Steel, Dawn of Justice, Blade Trinity as well. So he's done a lot of superhero stuff.
Yeah, because Blade is a franchise, technically, right?
Yeah, it is a franchise. It has 3 films.
Right, and a new one that will... Yeah, there's going to be a new Blade.
What?
Yeah.
You got me there.
So the new Blade is going to... Actually, no. We can talk about the new Blade later, but what about this Blade, played by Wesley Snipes?
Yeah, played by Wesley Snipes. He is half mortal, half immortal. The story of this one is another pretty basic story, just a guy going to get revenge. He is half vampire.
Half human.
Half vampire, half human.
Nice.
And his mother was killed, so he's trying to get back at the vampires.
So
he's kind of going against his own kind in a way.
If I'm not mistaken, his mom was bit by a vampire while she was pregnant. And that's why he's a half vampire?
I think so.
That's wild.
It's been a while since I've seen this movie.
Wild.
You'd think it'd make more sense if, like, only one of his parents was a vampire.
Yeah.
Like, to me, you know, like the whole half god, half human. Like
the old fashioned way?
Yeah.
Let's make a hybrid the old half fashioned
way. So then, this case, he had no choice. The mom had no choice.
Yeah.
You're just going to be half human, half. Because I killed your mom.
That kind of sucks.
Yeah. But yeah, guy is pretty dark. Dress is dark, and I got the long black cape. This gives me actually Matrix vibes. I would say Blade would fit in so perfectly in the Matrix.
Mahershala Ali would be the new Blade, or at least that's what they're they're projecting him to be the new Blade. I don't think that has this movie has a director yet, so I think it's pretty early in the process of pitching this new Blade out there. But I don't know. I kind of like Wesley Snipes as Blade. He's pretty witty. I mean, Blade 3, we're not going to get into the whole franchise, but Blade 3 was kind of a bomb.
Yeah.
It has your boy,
Ryan Reynolds. I remember that.
But I liked the first Blade.
Triple H was in it.
Man.
I remember that.
Yeah, that was weird. But I liked the first Blade. It was pretty cool. It was a nice little kick. It was refreshing. Little kick to the franchise. Speaking of kicks, though, I got one for you from Dusk Till Dawn. From Dusk Till Dawn is a 1996 film directed by Robert Rodriguez. Robert has directed Planet Terror, Machete.
Machete, yeah.
Machete for our English-speaking brethren.
Machete.
And Sin City. So you can say that Rodriguez has a style of directing. Very gritty. I don't know. I'm not really sure. It's to my taste.
Not my taste at all. Yeah. I can. I mean, I more than understand the fandom. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. It's gory. It's right. Action. It's just plain good old fun. If you like it, I don't judge. I understand there's something out there for everybody, and I see the appeal here.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I don't like any of his movies. I don't know. They're just background noise for me.
I think it's very similar to Quentin Tarantino's films. I think Rodriguez's style is a little bit more fantasy-based.
Yeah.
Where Tarantino relies more on the historical events.
He loves historical, right. He loves the historical context.
Right.
Sometimes more popular history, like Inglourious Basterds.
Right.
And then others not so much like the... like Hateful Eight also, a lot of historical context.
Right.
But not a specific character or specific events that you would say everybody's aware of.
Right, right.
So, but he loves... like, yeah, that's a great point. He does love the history... and Robert Rodriguez is just creating a lot of fantasy, a lot of violence. And I would say he's a lot more violent throughout the movie, I think.
You know, this is Tarantino's first paid writing gig.
Huh.
He was paid $15,000, or $1,500.
That's it?
That's it. It was his first gig. What do you expect?
Take it.
Yeah, he took it. he actually wrote this, the script for this one, to showcase KNB special effects. KNB later returned the favor in Reservoir Dogs. The ear scene,
nice. Yeah.
They did the special effects for that for free.
Very nice.
Yeah,
I can appreciate that.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Hey, you scratch my back?
Scratch yours. Yeah, it helped out. Came out beneficial. The cast in this one is pretty good. You know, you got George Clooney, his feature film debut. He was previously in the show ER. So this is a big Hollywood film movie.
Man, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that this was his first film. Like, I've always known that he was in it.
Right.
It's kind of like common knowledge for me, but
right.
I wasn't aware that it was his first
feature film debut. Yeah.
Nice.
Quentin Tarantino, he gets a pass on this one because he's not the director, but he does star in it. He did write it though, so
yeah.
Yeah. Not sure. Salma Hayek. Salma Hayek is in this one.
She's also in it. Yep.
Salma's in Savages. That movie was crazy, man.
That sounds so familiar. What year is that movie?
It's some bullshit ass movie, but like, it's not too long ago. It's where like this girl has like two dudes that she likes. She's in a relationship with two guys. It's from 2012.
Okay, I'm familiar with the thumbnail. Yeah, because
right.
Benicio del Toro's in
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I've definitely seen the thumbnail and the trailer. I've never gone around to see it. What do you think about it? Worth watching?
Yeah, I guess.
You guys. Sure. Sometimes I like to put on random stuff.
Yeah. If you want random stuff, then yeah, this one's
good. Okay.
Danny Trejo is in this one. That is Machete, or Machete, for our English speakers. You know what's crazy? Salma Hayek is afraid of snakes. And in this movie... she had a scene where she was dancing with a giant snake on her. So, you know, she was worried when she read the script. She was worried that she couldn't do the role.
Right.
So, Robert Rodriguez, he tricked her by telling her that Madonna was going to get the role. She was going to snap the role. So, Salma spent 2 months with her therapist to get over her fears. to do this role. That's crazy. It's good dedication. Wow, yeah. That's crazy dedication. I gotta really respect that.
Hats off to her. A lot of people don't get over phobias like that. It's pretty good.
For a role like this. I mean, this film isn't really, as far as the story goes, it's not really anything out of this world. You know, you have two brothers, the Greco brothers, played by George Clooney and Quentin Tarantino, and they're on the run because they just committed crimes, they were robbing banks, and they just had a long rap sheet. And they were on the run, and they come across this RV that has this family of a father and his two kids, and they take the RV hostage to try to escape. So they come across this biker bar, and that was a predetermined place to meet the Greco brothers' contact, who's going to meet them at dawn to try to take them the rest of the way. I'm not really sure. But it just so happens that this biker bar is filled with these monsters that are the undead, and it's vampires and whatnot. It's crazy. It's just randomly. It's just happened to stumble upon it.
Right.
So the rest of the night is just, the objective is just to survive. And I mean, like, the effects were cool, like, especially at the time, 1996 film. The story wasn't all that, but I guess you can say the acting carried a little bit. This film isn't bad. When you mention the cult following that Rodriguez has, this is one of the top films that people always put on their list.
Right.
And I guess this is why, or the reason why that is because maybe this kickstarted everything else. Maybe this is where it first started for Tarantino and Rodriguez and their relationship with several different actors, because, as you know, they do tend to use the same actors in each of their films.
Right.
So, I don't know. This there's nothing out of this world in this franchise. IMDb gave this a 7.2. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 62%. So, I guess when it comes to cult followings, Rotten Tomatoes lets it slide.
Okay. Sims.
Yeah.
Nothing but Sims over there.
There is a sequel, though. Yeah, I know. I had no idea about it.
Is it really bad?
I have no interest in watching it.
It must be really bad.
That's as far as I'm going to go. I'm just going to mention it. That's it.
Not even a name for the audience.
Damn. Nothing. Just look it up.
All right. Jumping into the next millennium. 2004.
Nice.
I would say this is a personal favorite of ours. Carries one specific actor. Hugh Jackman.
Complete package.
Hugh Jackman, who plays a famed monster slayer, Gabriel Van Helsing. This movie is Van Helsing. You know, context clues, right?
Nice.
From 2004, a horror fantasy. This movie is directed by Stephen Sommers.
Sommers, if I'm not mistaken, was part of the Mummy franchise.
Yep.
Hey, listen to the Mummy episode, guys.
Van Helsing, pretty straightforward. It takes all the elements of the fandom, right? The lore of these monsters, because we have werewolves, we have Dracula's in it. He's the main antagonist in this film. You have the monster slayer. So this is a world where we know all about vampires. We know all about werewolves. We even see a Frankenstein scene. Like, we get all the monsters. Anybody who likes monsters, it's kind of like, this movie was for the monster lovers as Godzilla King of the Monsters was for the kaiju lovers.
Nice.
That's kind of how I see it.
Nice.
You wanted a movie just to enjoy all your favorite, you know, the monster. This movie didn't have Mummy. Didn't have a Mummy. But it had three other very big ones. So I thought that was really, I would say, special. Not many movies do that well, in my opinion. I don't know. I can't really think of others that do it that good. Maybe the film that you'll talk about next
could be,
does it well. I guess we'll get to that later. But this movie does follow the monster slayer, Van Helsing. He's helping out Anna Valerius. Hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Played by Kate Beckinsale.
Nice.
Familiar name.
She's in Click.
Yes, she is.
She's the wife in Click. She's so beautiful.
She is.
Jesus.
We'll be talking about her again.
Very soon.
I assume. I don't know. I guess we'll...
Very soon.
It'll be a thought in a minute. Yeah, so Van Helsing is helping Anna Valerius because they're going up against Dracula.
I think their main objective is to not only lift the curse, but they want to stop Dracula from having his eggs hatching. His plan is to have all these eggs that he's prepared with his vampire mistresses, who were pretty sexy, by the way. I'm not going to lie.
I remember that.
He had three bitches. Like, Jesus Christ. That's going crazy. But he needed power to hatch these eggs. Mm. All his other offsprings were dying, like, as soon as they hatched. Okay. So the only power source he had was Frankenstein's monster. And that was his initial plan. He used Frankenstein, Dr. Frankenstein, and he told him, say, yo, I'm gonna take it. Like, once he revealed his plan, he killed him. And that's when Frankenstein's monster, like, he just, like, decided, hey, I'm gonna run away.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna take my father, my dead father, and I'm out. And supposedly he had died in, like, a fire. But he's alive. So Van Helsing, that's where the team up comes in, and they try to stop him from doing that and kill Dracula, which is pretty crazy. I like some scenes. Richard Roxburgh does a pretty good job at Dracula, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, I like the way his design of this film. He did it. I loved Dracula's, like, vibe, the whole theme.
This
was a good Dracula.
Right.
Nobody talks about it. I get it. It's Hugh Jackman, Kate Beckinsale, they're the focus.
But right.
The Dracula was actually good. It was enjoyable. Good antagonist. Old-fashioned antagonist. Straight to the point.
I know the werewolves got an award for their design. Like,
no kidding.
They had a pretty good werewolf design. And I forgot what award they got, but it was pretty impressive. So much so that it received a lot of recognition.
Nice. Speaking of werewolves, Hugh Jackman's character, I think this was like a reveal towards the end, if I remember correctly. Because he's out here slaying monsters, and he himself, in the moonlight, transforms into a werewolf.
Right.
Towards the end of the film. To beat Dracula. I think right. That was like the only way. I don't know if he had like a crossbow, I think was his main weapon. Or some. One of his weapons was a crossbow. I know he also had a gun that he used to shoot silver bullets.
Right.
But I guess he could not find the... Or I shouldn't say he couldn't find. I guess the solution was hard to find. Because it was always leading up to the whole rivalry that was the werewolf versus the vampire.
Right.
So it was like, if you're gonna have Dracula, which is not an average vampire, he's obviously one of the strongest, if not the strongest,
right,
you're gonna have to come with one of the biggest and strongest werewolves.
Right.
And that was part of the lore in the film.
Right.
Like, kind of like the lead up, you know, foreshadowing. Okay, this guy, good guy, has to be an evil werewolf for a couple minutes to defeat Dracula. And we got a good fight scene.
It was great. It was fantastic. And I think the way Van Helsing became a werewolf was he got bit, right? Something like that. Like
something.
I know that Kate Beckinsale's brother, like her character's brother in the film, he was a werewolf. And then he supposedly had died. So I think he got Van Helsing, he turned into a werewolf. He had to do it.
That makes sense.
It was the only way to take down
right
Dracula. But crazy good scene, crazy good effects in my opinion. It was pretty well.
So they took it literal. You have to be the monster, become the monster to defeat the monster.
Nice.
I like that one.
Speaking of monsters, though, more specific, unique monsters. This is a very popular franchise because this is technically a franchise. It has 6 films.
It's a lot of movies.
The Underworld franchise. Very good franchise when depicting vampires and their relationships with the Lycans or werewolves, as you might know them. Underworld is directed by... I'm going to be talking about the first Underworld because if I go into all 6 movies, it's an entire episode on its own.
Yeah, exactly.
The first Underworld was directed in 2003, directed by Len Wiseman. Len directed Total Recall, the remake in 2012.
Wait, no. Total Recall is the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's the original.
That's the original.
They made the remake in 2012.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why does that sound so familiar? Who was in that?
Colin Farrell.
Oh, okay.
And Kate Beckinsale.
Yes.
Nice.
Love you, Kate.
Yeah. Speaking of Kate, the cast in this one, I'd say the main protagonist, Kate Beckinsale, she was in Van Helsing and Click. Bill Nighy. Bill was Davy Jones in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Ah, yeah. That old dude.
So obviously there's a big lore in this one, at least in the franchise. Essentially, they paint a world in which vampires and lycans are at war. They've been at war for a long time. And Kate Beckinsale's character, she's a vampire. And she's tasked to save this human. His name is Michael Corvin. So for some reason, he's special, and the Lycans are going after him, and the vampire sent her to protect him, and they want him, and no one really knows why. But Michael, a regular human, he's a doctor, he's very special. The Lycans manage to get a hold of him, and Celine, which is Kate's character, and she has to go over there and try to save him, and there's some drama there. But essentially, it's revealed to us that Michael is a direct descendant of a very specific type of ancestry in which Lycans and vampires were combined. So his DNA was already of a hybrid.
He was an Otsutsuki.
Sure.
Just delete that.
So then he has Celine bite him, in which he gains that hybrid, awakens that hybrid ancestry, and he fights off this big boss played by Bill Nighy's character, and he's the one who killed Celine's parents. It's just this whole drama. But essentially, Celine and Michael, they end the movie killing basically the heads of the vampires and the Lycans, and they're at war with all of them. I guess they make enemy of both of them.
Yeah. I don't know if you can choose love in this situation over duty.
Yeah, it kind of...
Do you want that? You want that war?
That's the thing. It kind of turns into a love story after.
Right.
Once you continue these movies, there's an offspring involved and more of a love story. I got to say, it doesn't really necessarily focus on anything as far as the lore anymore. It's kind of their story.
Yeah.
It's whatever, honestly. I like the design, though. The designs were cool. I like the Lycans. The story was pretty strong in the first one, but you know, like mentioned before, it seems like as these movies went along, the quality kind of dropped off, and that really happens to a lot of these franchises. It's more of the same thing. When you know, we're talking about six movies,
milking it, right?
Yeah, you're just milking it at this point.
Unfortunately,
IMDb gave it a 7 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 31%. Again, Rotten Tomatoes. You know, I don't know what's going on, but. I don't know. This film wasn't bad. I think a 7 out of 10 is pretty fair.
All right, going on to our last on this list, but not least. Interesting. I would say out of all the films we mentioned, this one to me comes off as the most horror. It's officially horror thriller.
I agree.
And it's called 30 Days of Night. I'm sure you guys have heard of it. It's definitely more of a scary movie.
I really enjoy this one.
Yeah. This one is a very classic horror. Mm-hmm. Just using a common and popular monster, vampires, and they make it bloody, they make it nasty, scary. They really, you know, it gives you the heebie-jeebies, if you will.
Nice.
I can't believe I said that on live air.
I'm embarrassed too.
Everybody in Israel listening is disappointed.
The tone of this movie is really good.
The tone was really good. They kept it the entire way. So for obvious reasons, it's called 30 Days of Night because it's literal. The movie takes place in a small town, Barrow, Alaska, where for a month every year they do experience all nothing but darkness. There's no sun, you know, it's all night for 30 days. Most people leave the town during this month, I guess, in this film, in this specific year. For whatever reason, the remaining people are just, you know, they come out and they make the worst decision of their lives by not leaving,
because right.
Vampires with no origin, they kind of just come. That's kind of the thing with the story. It's supposed to happen.
Well, I mean, they don't really know that vampires are there. Usually, they live their regular lives. It just happens to be nighttime all the time, but, you know, they're chilling. Nothing ever happens there.
Right, and all of a sudden, they decide this year, they're going to come and feed.
Nice.
And that's just what they're doing. They have to try their best to survive. I think they have to do it, like, one night or a few nights. From what I remember, the film kind of, I guess, progressively got worse with the whole killings and
right.
And no one was really believing what was going on. So I don't think it was like an onslaught, like they arrived and said, all right, everybody's dying. Mm-hmm. I think it was just like little by little, you know, which is part of the horror, the buildup.
Right.
One person disappears. Hey, sheriff, because the main character is played by Josh Hartnett, is a sheriff.
Right.
And his wife, they play the main people, main protagonists. And it's like, yo, this stuff is going on. What is this? Can he investigate here? And of course, it's 30 days of night. It's Alaska. People die. People go missing. You know, the environment is harsh. It's hard. It's a harsh climate to live in, especially when you don't get sun. You know. I know we don't really talk about that because we always get sun at night. But I'm sure it has to affect your mind. when you don't get any sun for for a couple days. So I'm sure the circumstances are so different that the sheriff is probably not thinking much of a lot of the weird stuff going around. So little by little, I guess, progressively gets worse. And then finally, I guess, that final night, that's when the vampires really are going after the few remaining survivors. And they have to just fight their way through, you know, figure it out until the sun can finally come up to give them their regular dose of vitamin D. So the movie's just actually one giant symbolic art piece that says go outside.
Damn. Directed by Jordan Peele.
That's not far off.
I really like the effects on this one. I like the ending. Not a happy ending. I'm a big fan of that, especially when it comes to horror. It was pretty cool. Like, I think it was what, like this the suicide that the main protagonist had. He becomes a vampire himself. He just goes crazy on all the other vampires trying to protect, you know, his loved ones.
Right.
And then he just decides to go out in the sunlight. Sunlight being one of the things that are deadly to vampires. That's why they're so keen on staying in the dark and whatnot. But it was pretty cool. I like the design on these vampires. They're pretty badass.
It was. This film was directed by David Slade, who's known for a few movies. One of the ones I saw on Netflix many years ago, I thought was pretty interesting. It's called Hard Candy. It's about this girl who figures out this creepy, you know, rich photographer and that lives not so far away, likes to prey on young girls, lying to them about modeling, whatever.
Damn.
He does a good job of this film. It's his feature film debut, actually, with Elliot Page and Patrick Wilson.
Very cool.
He also directed the Twilight Saga Eclipse.
Another vampire movie.
Yep.
Like vampire.
He did Black Mirror Bandersnatch. I don't know if you ever got around to watching that.
I saw that one. It was pretty cool. I liked the interaction that that movie had. It was really different.
Yes, I agree. I enjoyed that. He did something else called Nightmare Cinema and Dark Harvest. I haven't heard of Dark Harvest, but apparently it comes out this year.
Hmm.
And it's based on a 2006 novel of the same name. So he's done some horror, done some interesting stuff, not afraid to go into the disturbing, which I appreciate.
Nice.
He's a UK director, so maybe we see more of him.
Nice.
With Dark Harvest.
Hmm.
But yeah, I agree with what you said earlier, just to go back a little bit. I like the ending. It's like, hey, I gotta get this done. Be a vampire.
But
let me ask someone, how come, if I remember, I don't remember correctly, but how come he couldn't just stay a vampire?
Well, Alaska, just like it has 30 days of night, it does have, I don't know if it's 30 days, but it does have a prolonged time
of sunlight.
it's sun all day. So I don't think that he's able to sustain a life, you know, staying indoors, trying to hide from that. And at the same time, I'm assuming he doesn't want to become a monster. He doesn't want to stay a monster. You know, he tried to do this job and he had a purpose for it. And after that, you know, like he lost his humanity. It was a noble act.
Correct. It was. Maybe also he was just too tired from the fighting to like run away. It was just like,
could
whatever.
Be, yeah. I don't know.
Like, I mean, I love you, baby.
Yeah.
And his wife is all crying, but hey, but she's single now, so what's up?
Yeah.
It's been a few years now. I'm just kidding. She probably moved on by now.
But that was vampires. I mean, guys, these are pretty solid films. When it comes to the vampire horror genre, these are pretty solid films. Don't listen to Rotten Tomatoes. They don't know what they're talking about. They're rotten. I mean, it's in their name. So take that information.
Very nice.
And do what you will with it. But these are pretty solid films. Netflix has a couple. I'm pretty sure Vudu has some. Look it up. I don't know. Peacock has Van Helsing. So premium subscription.
Yep. This movie, just a quick little tidbit, but this movie does have a sequel called 30 Days of Night, Dark Days. Never knew it existed and haven't seen it. Just wanted to throw that in there in case anybody else has heard of it.
Brian, real quick, I did want to mention something. I saw Black Adam not too long ago, last week.
You did, yep.
You know, I gotta say, looking at the reviews on this film, Rotten Tomatoes is clowning on it. I mean, that's what they do. But the audience score is really high for some reason, and I couldn't really understand why. You know, watching this film was a lot of plagiarism. It was really convenient. It's just very stale. I don't know. It's just the story was pretty pretty whatever to me, you know. It was whatever. So I couldn't really understand why this movie was getting such high praises. And then I saw the end credit scene.
Oh, it's an end credit scene.
It's an end credit scene. Oh. And then that's what I think is what's really selling this thing. Yeah. I'm not gonna spoil anything.
Right.
I'm sure if you spent any time on social media, you've already been spoiled.
Yeah.
But hey, if there's anybody that can make or give hope to the DCEU, it would be Dwayne Rock Johnson. So it seems like it's trending that way. Hopefully, we have a little bit more of a brighter future. I would like a little bit higher quality than what I saw in Black Adam. It's just really corny at times, you know? It's just, God.
My fear is that they would, I mean, I haven't seen it, but I'm going to guess, is that they're going to eventually just say, we have to take a page out of Marvel's book. Some cringe, some corny jokes, you know? And maybe that's part of what you mean by plagiarism, because to me, it's that's what's working.
Right.
Again, I don't know why, but it's been a moneymaker. And given the audience score, like you said, which is what's making the money, because Rotten Tomatoes doesn't make the money.
Right.
That people are loving it and they're going out to watch it. So I guess they're gonna do well, and if it's doing really well, like they say it is, we're gonna have a nice long franchise within the DCU starring Black Adam, starring, I guess, I'm gonna say Shazam. I understand that it's a different film, but I know Shazam is kind of like in the universe.
They will have a crossover.
Yeah, because that they're like the main two.
Right.
So although that's not new, we've been known this
right
ever since before they even made the Shazam movie from like what, 2018. So it's 4 years in the making that we're kind of like, all right. But yeah, Shazam was one of those that I would agree with whatever you just said with Black Adam. I would apply also to Shazam because that's how I felt.
Right.
You know, but people loved it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, well, it's kind of bittersweet because at least it's DC getting love. And we're DC guys.
Right.
Well, I'm looking forward to watching it. Not running to go see it, but I'll definitely interested in, you know, I'm very intrigued to see Dr. Fate.
Played by Pierce Brosnan. I like his character. I think people are exaggerating his character a little bit too much. They're wanting an entire movie on him. No, I think he was a pretty solid character. I mean, as far as the comics go or the animated series go, he's a badass, you know. But I don't think an entire movie is necessary in this one. He played a good role in this film. Again, still pretty cheesy, but whatever. It is what it is. I think the whole film can be saved by the end credits scene. That's already.
I get you. So next week,
guys, we are going into the supernatural.
More realistic supernatural, kind of like the, you know, those true stories that are exaggerated for Hollywood and the things that people believe in.
Nice.
Right, you know, like demons and the ghosts and the poltergeists and the possessions. Those are stuff that we only see in movies. But every now and then, you know, there's a few people who say, oh no, you know, I've seen this.
Right.
I've experienced this.
And, right.
Oh, my grandparents used to have this. You know, like, you got stories upon stories. And
everybody does.
Everybody does, right. So I think this is the supernatural, but the more believable one, the ones that people kind of definitely give into. They're too scared to watch it because they do believe that it's real.
Nice.
Stuff like that.
All right.
So what would we call it? Like, reality TV, supernatural reality TV.
It's going to be a good one. It's going to be a scary one to cap off spooky season.
Volume 2.
Nice. But that's going to do it, guys. We really appreciate the support and all the feedback. If you like today's episode or have ideas for future episodes, definitely get in contact with us. You can reach us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Our username is FilmPurgatory or Film_Purgatory.
And please remember to turn on all notifications on your streaming services so you know as soon as we drop the latest episode.
Thanks again, guys, and we'll see you. Fucking bullshit. Thanks again, guys, and we'll see you
next week.